The next event in the Why Should I Read This Lecture series is tonight at KMUW. Wichita State's Dr. Rebecca Bechtold will be at the station to talk about The House of the Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne. That's tonight at 7 p.m. Find out more at kmuw.org.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, June 30th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. The discovery of an ancient Kansas settlement named Etzanoa is challenging long-held views that all indigenous people on the Great Plains were nomadic.
They stayed here for 200 years. They built houses. They lived here year-round. I feel like there's a cliche that's been perpetuated for quite a long time, so this does challenge that.
We'll hear how a new center allows the public to visit the site and learn the Wichita tribe's story. That's after the news. Many new Kansas laws will take effect on July 1st. Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports on two laws that will impact housing and health care.
A new law allows people with intellectual or developmental disabilities to keep receiving home and community-based services. The law does this by reducing the need for repeated eligibility renewals, instead opting for a continuous renewal. Critics argue the law increases costs because of federal data sharing requirements. A new housing law prevents local governments from requiring landlords to rent to tenants using government housing assistance. The legislation passed after a Lawrence ordinance called for landlords to not discriminate against potential tenants receiving Section 8 assistance. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
U.S. Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas told a national news program Sunday that he plans to be on the ballot in Kansas in November. The Republican answered questions on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday about rumors that he could resign from office to take a position with President Donald Trump's administration. That move would allow Republicans in the state legislature to control his successor, and voters would not get to pick a senator until the year 2028. Marshall told NBC's Ryan Nobles that the rumor is not true and he plans to run.
I am ruling out any appointment in the Trump administration at least through the next two or three years. Who knows what would happen 4 years from now.
In the same interview, Marshall said the war between the U.S. and Iran has moved into a stage he called, quote, a mop-up operation. A crucial primary election for the governor's office in Kansas is about a month away, and a new poll shows a clear leader, Sam Zeff reports.
The Democratic primary for governor is an all-Johnson County affair, and State Senator Cindy Holscher is the clear leader. The Civic Clarity poll has Holscher with 37% support. State Senator Ethan Corson, who has outraised Holscher and has the endorsement of Governor Laura Kelly, has just 10%. Corson is slightly ahead of Overland Park Mayor Kirk Skoog, who entered the race a month ago. The poll shows Holscher with wide margins across the state and among men and women. Still, with mail-in advance voting starting in 2 weeks, 44% of Democrats say they're not sure who to vote for. I'm Sam Zeff.
A man was found dead Sunday in Sumner County after his vehicle was swept away in floodwaters. The Sumner County Sheriff's Office says deputies were dispatched to South Oliver Road in Wellington on Saturday afternoon after receiving a call of a submerged vehicle. Rescue crews from the Wellington Fire Department were unable to enter the water because of the speed and force of the flood. Wellington police deployed a drone to search the waters downstream, and the Kansas Highway Patrol Air Unit helped from the air. Rescue operations resumed Sunday after floodwaters receded and crews recovered the body of a 33-year-old Nebraska man. Ascension Via Christi has finalized its acquisition of a closed hospital in Derby. The former Rock Regional Hospital filed for bankruptcy last year and closed in January. Via Christi signed a letter of intent in March to obtain the 90,000-square-foot facility. The hospital has been renamed Ascension Via Christi St. Peter. It's the fourth addition to the Via Christi network. Ascension officials say work is being done to install new equipment and create a hiring plan. Via Christi aims to open the new hospital next summer. A Southeast Kansas foster care agency is having greater success reuniting kids with their families than our agencies in many other parts of the state. Rachel Schnelly of the Kansas News Service reports.
Officials separate kids in cases of abuse or neglect, and reunification is the process of leaving foster care and reconnecting them with their original families. Pittsburgh foster care agency TFI had 300 reunifications last year. Shailene Owens is the agency's vice president of permanency.
And so that is a big success, right? One reunification is a success because a child came out of care and now they're back at home with their family.
Owens recommends placing foster kids with relatives to help keep kids connected to their parents. The group also offers support from parents who previously were separated from their children. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly in Pittsburgh.
Veterinarians are advising pet owners to plan ahead for their animals as 4th of July fireworks season begins. Loud noises and bright flashes can make pets anxious, resulting in them running away. Owners should make sure their pets have updated ID tags on their collars. Keeping them indoors with closed curtains and music playing can help mask fireworks displays. For pets who typically experience more anxiety, vets recommend giving them over-the-counter calming supplements or prescription anxiety medication. Fireworks season in Wichita started on Saturday and continues until July 5th. Wichita Public Schools will host a tour today at Coleman Environmental Magnet Middle School in northeast Wichita. It's part of the district's Tour Tuesdays this summer ahead of the $615 million bond referendum in November. More than $100 million in bond funds would support rebuilding Coleman and renovating the existing building to house the district's alternative learning programs. The tour is from 4:30 to 5:30 this afternoon. People are asked to RSVP at wpsbond.org. Details on future tours are also on the site. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. A new immersion center in Arkansas City is telling the story of one of the oldest cities in North America. Ancestors of the Wichita tribe lived at a large settlement called Etzanoa in southern Kansas. KMUW's Roger Nomer reports.
Derek Ross squints over a patch of undisturbed prairie on a warm day in North Wichita. He is a member of the Wichita tribe and belongs to its Cultural Preservation Board. Today, he is picking out grass for a display at the Etzanoa Immersion Center in Arkansas City. Ross pauses to describe the beauty of the humble blue-stem grass.
They're not flowers, you know, or roses or whatever, but it's grass, and it's just kind of beautiful. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go cut some of this grass and I'll show you.
It's for a house being built at the center. When used for building material, it can look like feathers with an almost pink hue. The city of Etzanoa flourished between 1450 and 1700 along the Walnut River. It was the home to ancestors of the Wichita tribe. There were an estimated 20,000 inhabitants based on Spanish expedition records. Some scholars think the Spanish were over-exaggerating the population. Others say the large amount of artifacts being found around Arkansas City supports the claim. Regardless of its size, the settlement has been mentioned as one of the most influential ancient cities in North America. Etzanoa Conservancy Director Georgia Zavala says life centered around agriculture and hunting.
They practiced agriculture year-round, growing corn, squash, / pumpkins, as well as sunflowers.
Residents had a centralized government with a large trade network. Objects not usually found in the Great Plains, like obsidian and turquoise, are at the site.
We've got records from as far as Florida of people trading bison pelts from the Plains region all the way down to Florida.
The settlement dispersed around 1700 as Europeans took over the area. However, Etzanoa refused to remain buried.
People have been finding artifacts in this area since the 1880s. I've met a lot of people who have inherited artifacts from their grandparents when they were farming and they would plow and then they'd get stone tools pulling up in their field.
Spanish explorers looking for cities of gold encountered Etzanoa several times. Their detailed notes helped Wichita State University archaeologist Donald Blakesley find the site. Discoveries at Etzanoa challenged some long-held views about indigenous people on the Great Plains. Etzanoans farmed and lived in one area instead of being nomadic hunters and gatherers.
They stayed here for 200 years. They built houses. They lived here year-round. I feel like there's a cliche that's been perpetuated for quite a long time, so this does challenge that.
Back at the prairie, Derek Ross says the Wichita tribe has always known the advanced methods of their ancestors. Now, they are glad the information is being shared widely through the Immersion Center.
That's not people foraging. That's people homeschooling their children. That's people raising families. That's people providing social services, you know, probably welfare. The same things that you would find in Washington, D.C. today were found in the governments and the leadership of Native American tribes.
Conservancy members want to build an amphitheater to tell the Wichita tribe's story since Etzanoa. Tribal members plan to be involved. Although the numbers of the Wichita tribe diminished after Etzanoa, they didn't disappear. Tribal members remain active in all parts of American society.
All the Indians went away is what kind of people think, but Native American people, particularly my family and our tribe, are a meaningful part of the world that's going on today.
And these lessons are being taught at the Etzanoa Immersion Center in Arkansas City. It is open on Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
I'm Terry Mott, KMUW's External Engagement Coordinator. You're invited to the next Pint Night, 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, July 15th at Prost. It's an evening with conversation, drinks, and cheer among listeners and KMUW staff. I hope to see you there.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.